Welcome back to part two of the greatest podcast, greatest anything that's ever been created. Honestly, second only to maybe Skittles and Reese's. Second to what are some of the things that are really, really great? Microwaves, although the aliens did give us that. Second to Pokemon. It's close first. Did you know that Pokemon is the number one selling brand of all time? Number one revenue brand of all time.
Did you make that up?
No, it's a real stat. I had to look it up myself. Anyways, Grey's Academy podcast. It's us, Carmen and Kelsey. I almost just said she's Carmen, I'm Kelsey. She's
so true.
Kelsey, I'm Carmen. Hello. Hi.
Hello. We are back. And before we get started, I think it's really important that we address Jimothy. Please tell me you know about Jimothy.
I wish that I could tell you I knew what a Jimothy is.
You are just on the saddest part of the internet. If you don't know about Jimothy.
Perfectly curated algorithm.
I need you to get on Google right now and type in Jimothy.
Okay. All right. Doing it.
Spelled exactly how it sounds.
Jimothy. All right. Meet Jimothy, the silly round creature.
Did it just rock across your screen? First of all, guys, if you know what Jimothy is or you don't, regardless, you need to get on Google and see what Google does for you when you type in Jimothy. Jimothy is a raccoon in Seattle who was born with short spine syndrome, but his mother did not abandon him when he was a little raccoon baby. She nursed him, and now he's a full-grown circular raccoon, and I love him.
Yeah, and they really just, he just runs across your screen. Will it do it again? Yeah, it did it again.
Oh, I couldn't get mine to do it again. I had to take Michael's phone and do it on his phone so I could see it again.
Let's see if I can just do it again. No, it was a one-time thing. It's technically a two-time thing. Can I do it? Can I make this happen? No. Yeah, crazy. That's interesting.
Anyways, I love Jimothy. Jimothy's my angel.
What was that one monkey? Patches?
Punch.
I would watch a TV show where Jimothy and Punch are friends, and they solve crimes.
Yes.
And for some reason, Jimothy's always eating pudding. Like, he's just carrying around pudding with him at all times.
And Punch just has his little stuffed monkey friend with him.
Well, no. He just drinks Kool-Aid.
Why would he drink Kool-Aid?
Because Punch. Kool-Aid is just Punch.
Oh, I thought you were saying, like, the act of punching. And I was like, Kool-Aid doesn't make you punch people.
No. Kool-Aid is Punch, the drink.
I see what you've done. Yeah.
Drinkable Punch. Before we start this episode with everyone's favorite segment, can I tell you a fun story?
Mm-hmm.
So this new Pokemon set just came out. Mm-hmm. It's called Pitch Black. It's amazing. I wait in line for it. It's great. I open up some packs with Isaac and Jessica. Isaac and Jess's family stay with us last weekend. And Isaac likes opening packs with us, and he finishes eating dinner, and he goes, hey, can I open some? And I go, yeah, for sure. He opens up the pack. He goes, hey, what am I looking for in this pack? And I go, well, I really am looking for Misty. There's a special Misty card that I really want. It's like Jazzercise Misty. And there's a Morpeko card that I really want. But like, if you find it, there's this Mega Darkrai card. It's all black. It's like the main chase of the set. We're not going to pull it, but if you do, it's like an all black Mega Darkrai EX, and he stops and he goes like this, shows it to me, single pack snipe. It's the main chase of the set. I lose my fucking shit.
I saw that you had posted that, and I wasn't sure if it was a trade or if it was like a
no,
natural
he pulled
pull.
It was a so this is now two cards that I technically have three main chase set cards out of the last couple of sets. I've pulled two of the three, one of the three. Jess pulled one. Isaac has pulled one. I have people around me that have good luck, and I'm just very happy for that.
That's lovely.
Yeah. Anyways, take it away.
Okay. It's time for everyone's favorite segment. Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland! And this episode of Living in fucking Shondaland is brought to you by all of those out there who give us five-star reviews. Give us a five-star review. Give us a rating of high, love, amazing, incredibleness everywhere you listen. Every time you stream the content, give us that five-star review. Leave a comment if you're on Apple Music. It's been a while since we've gotten a new comment. It's
been a while.
Been a while. So we'd love to read some comments live. So do it. Do it. I'm gonna guess the number. It's three.
It's two.
Fuck. Is it one of the news ladies?
No.
Okay. Is it the news guy who's in the hospital?
Yes.
That Owen's like, get the fuck off my property.
Yes.
And is the other one the CIA guy who's giving Lilo and Stitch vibes?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
Well done.
Thank you.
The Homeland Security guy. Yes. Okay. So Rick Worthy plays Ray, who's the Homeland Security man. He was in four episodes of Station 19. Matthew Bower, was the news anchor that was in the hospital, and he was in one episode of Scandal.
Does the Homeland Security guy not give Agent Bubbles vibes?
I see where you're coming from. I just kept thinking about that Secret Service guy when Teddy was there, and then Alicia wrote the fanfic about
it. Yeah. You know, we need a fanfic where he really didn't have any chemistry with anyone. No. I still would watch a spinoff of them, of just Teddy and that guy. I'd give it a season. Give it a pilot season.
What do you think Teddy's doing?
I think that she's going to come back season 11, episode 1.
For why?
For plot.
For the plot.
Owen needs someone to bang now.
Does he, though? Wouldn't it just be better if he was...
He should
remove himself from women.
And to, yeah. Yeah, you unscrew the penis off of your body. You no longer get it.
Yeah, I just don't. I hate him. But I will say, I hate Derek more in this episode than I hate Owen.
That makes very much sense.
Because Derek, remember, if you'll recall, at the end of last episode, came home unilaterally deciding that they were, in fact, going to move to Washington, D.C.
Yep.
Because he met the president.
Which makes sense in a vacuum. We need to acknowledge that.
I'll give you the motivation that he's like, oh man, this, I'm sure he was given the greatest pep talk the world has ever seen about why he needs to do this for his country. And I believe that he is motivated to do this work. However, there are other factors. And it's the doubling down is heinous.
Heinous.
The audacity of him to tell Meredith she's selfish.
He is selfish.
Awful.
Awful.
And she's like, she's not telling him that he cannot go. She's saying that she doesn't want to go. And he's like, well, I got you this job. I've done all of these things. And she's like, but I have a life here and a job here. And he's like, no, no, no. You must do what I say because I am Derek Shepherd.
Yeah, I have lots of thoughts. Mm-hmm. First, did you know that Foggy Bottom is a real place?
Yes. But I have family in the D.C. area.
Wow. I just thought that was a humdinger of a stat. Mm-hmm. But you're welcome, everyone. Paw Patrol for life. Second, Derek can go fuck all of it off. Mm-hmm. All of it. I don't like the unilateral decision making. I don't fully know, and I want your opinion on this because I value your opinion on this, obviously. I don't fully know where I feel on Meredith equating herself to Thatcher in this situation. But I don't remember what Thatcher did before.
Thatcher was like a professor.
A professor. Okay.
I believe. So she said that Ellis got him a job at the university, like teaching or something.
Okay. Okay.
And she's like, it's called a trailing spouse. It's not what I want. Like, there's implications around it. I think it's just... the thing is, Derek is looking at this one thing in a vacuum, which, yeah, in my opinion, this one thing is bad. But it's also like he's not looking at the whole picture of like all the promises he's broken and all the times he's like just disregarded Meredith as an individual with her own person, with her own life, with her own career, with her own goals.
Yeah.
And it's all going to come to a head. And you know what? Christina Yang could not have been more correct.
Yes.
And this is one of the most often quoted quoted moments from this entire series is he is not the son you are. It's he is very dreamy.
Look it up. You have the technology.
I have the recipient.
And I want you to know, I think no less of you that you just said it's one of the most quotable things, then you can't quote
it. I think
no less of you.
What I was going to quote is, he's not the son you are. He's very dreamy. He's not the son you are. But there's more at the beginning. You are a gifted surgeon with an extraordinary mind. Don't let what he wants eclipse what you need. That's the part I don't say as much. He's very dreamy, but he's not the son you are. That's the part that's quoted the most. Obviously, dreamy McDreamy, like, good, just solid. Also important to note that when Owen and Christina went to couples therapy, Owen looked her in the face and said, "You are not the son."
Whoa.
Yeah.
Did we talk about that?
We talked about it, but I was like, I kept it in the back of my mind to reference yet again when this came back up.
Wow. But did I acknowledge that, like, damn, Owen, that sucks. Why would you say something so heinous?
I'm sure you did, because Owen's a piece of garbage, and we probably spent most of that episode
still
talking about
how much garbage.
He sucks.
Yeah, damn. What a great callback that I did not catch. Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, they dance it out.
I love that song. I also don't remember that they've danced that song before.
They haven't danced that song before. That song has been on the show before.
Okay.
That song did gain a lot of popularity after the show.
I also don't think that song warrants the intensity at which they dance so quickly. It's not like a Gallery 81 song, right?
I think Gallery 81 also has some build sometimes.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay, great.
But this one didn't build high enough.
But it's a good song.
It's fine. It's not going in the iTunes library anytime soon.
It's been in mine since like 2012, so.
That's fair.
Trying to think if there are any other specific, like, Meredith and Christina quotes. There's them in the scrub room when she's like, you've been stalling for weeks, and Christina's like, I just need to fucking finish something, and George is dead and Izzy's gone, and then Meredith says, you don't feel finished because this isn't the end for you. There is no finish line. There is no end point. You just have to go. And she says, I know I keep trying to, but I don't know how to do it. You have to help me, Meredith. And so Meredith, like, forcibly, like, removes her from the hospital and puts her in the cab, and then she comes back and takes her, just like walks up to her and just like drags her to the on-call room to dance it out. And it's such a perfect end moment for them, and I love it so much.
Yeah, it's good. It is good. Because that's, she leaves and she gets that fake goodbye. She goes in the cab. They're like, get the fuck out of here, dude. She said, I don't want to feel incomplete, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Pierce will do it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then she comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that we get that second fake goodbye, because obviously the payoff and the tension and all of it builds up to that moment. I'm very happy about it. I almost wish there was even more.
More goodbye?
More words, more reflecting, more, I don't know, more of something. I just feel like it wasn't enough for their relationship in this show.
I mean, it just gets to a point where it's like, there's not gonna be enough. Like, do you remember when you left Florida and we all just stood in the street and hugged and cried for like 5 minutes straight?
Yeah.
Like, at a certain point, that's all there's gonna be. Because, like, there's just, when you have relationships that are that meaningful and impactful, there's not going to be like, oh, well, and I've just found the right words to, like, encapsulate everything for this moment.
Mm. Yeah. That's a good point. Well, now I'm sad about all of us not living in Florida anymore.
Well, you should be sad that you didn't buy the house next to me. Or that other really expensive house that was fucking incredible.
Why don't we all just move back to Florida?
Because then we'd live in Florida.
How about you guys move to Florida, we'll move to Florida, and then Mark and Leah will move to Florida as well. We'll all move back
to Florida. I just hate Florida so much.
Why?
Because that's a hot take. The weather of Central Florida so much.
Mm. Yeah.
Also, where I would be living in Florida would be Central Florida, and I have a lot of issues with the way that city is run. Their infrastructure is garbage.
Yeah. And you don't want to live on a lake in Florida.
No, I am like so thrilled to live somewhere where I don't have to constantly fear alligators.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good point. Well, all right.
Maybe next time.
Everyone, let's move to Chicago.
No, it's too cold. Okay, so... yeah.
Is there anything else that you have with them? Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I think they just did it really well. I think I cannot rave about it enough. I think it's a wonderful tribute to Christina. I think it's a wonderful encapsulation of like their... I love when she says, like, you know, don't stick your hand in a bomb cavity. You're my person. You make me brave. I need you alive. Like, so good.
That was a good callback. That was a good callback. Yeah.
Yeah, don't sacrifice yourself to a gunman. Like, so many things. Literally so many little references and just, like, very natural, like, doesn't feel forced kind of ways. Now, prior to the last 2.5 minutes of this episode, what were your thoughts on Maggie, the new head of Cardio?
I don't think I caught that she was who they hired. Like, I don't know that I just even was in the right headspace to remember that. So all of a sudden when she was there, I'm like, oh, okay, so they hired this person.
Yeah, they don't mention it that she's hired in another episode. Like, this was the reveal. Her, like, walking with Owen and saying, like, I'm the head of the department now. That's the revelation to the viewership that she's been hired.
Yeah, it definitely was a power struggle. The second she comes on screen and Owen's like, yeah, she's for sure leaving, dude. Like, you're good. And then they get into it in the OR with Link.
Alex, I think about Link's heart. Yeah,
Link's heart. Pierce ends up doing that surgery, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So she seems fun. She seems okay. I like her already better than Russell. That guy sucks. And... man, yeah, I will say that leading up to the reveal at the end, and I have questions. I have lots of thoughts and questions. So they're on the bench, and she said something about, I was like, wait a second.
She goes, something. I was adopted.
That's when I was like, oh my gosh, this is Weber's daughter.
I remember watching it with my mom, and as soon as Weber goes outside and finds her on that bench, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
They're related.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, I don't think I initially put together that it was Ellis. I was just like, they're somehow related, which obviously it's Ellis because of drama. But, like, I just remember being like, oh, they are, like, there's something here, like, a relation, like, they are unbeknownst related.
So one of the thoughts I had, very faint, fleeting, was that it was a child of Weber and Adele, but Adele gave up the kid while he was cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And like he was, I don't know if they were separated, but a storyline in my mind makes so much sense that he was so intoxicated and so
checked out
that he didn't even know she was pregnant. And then she has this baby and gives it up.
Mm-hmm.
Fleeting thought. My next thing that I didn't even think about until afterwards is like, oh my gosh, another fucking half sister that Meredith has on this show. Come on, guys. Can we get a new plot twist point? Yeah. But also, how the hell would Meredith have not remembered that Alice was pregnant? Is there plot armor to this? What is happening?
It's addressed. Questions become answered.
Okay.
I'll tell you that.
Okay. That means Alice is going to have to come back in a flashback. Alice is going to be back. The character who plays Alice is going to come back in flashbacks.
So, I mean, luckily we do have Carmen's reaction on video, so...
I was shocked.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, because again, we know this huge thing that's going to happen in this episode is Christina leaving. So like, you think that's the huge thing this episode. It's not a cliffhanger. We know she's leaving. So obviously, like, the classic Grey's move is cliffhanger. We don't really think about it because we think, oh, Sandra Oh's leaving the show. Like, what a huge deal. Like, Shonda's leaving. Like, it's this huge thing. Like, so much is happening. And then they're like, sneaky, gotcha, secret daughter.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I don't know, and I don't know if you have anything on this specifically, but if this was a Shonda decision, she really did give them this storyline on a silver platter. And she said, you know what, guys, this is going to be great. You're amazing. I'm not a part of the show anymore, but here's one last little Shonda plot twist nugget for you guys.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited to see what they do with this, what I imagine to be her last plot twist, and say, what are you guys going to do?
Yeah. What's also crazy to think about is if Meredith is like, yeah, let's move to DC, and they don't say that Maggie is a secret daughter, this could be a series finale easily. If Meredith's like, yep, let's move to DC and pursue our careers there, and Maggie's like, I'm the new head of cardio and I'm not secretly related to anybody.
Yeah.
Alice could fix some buttholes. Arizona and Cali seem like they're gonna have a surrogate. Like,
yeah.
And then Bailey's gonna very easily be on the board. Season finale or a series finale. I mean,
you're right. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
In the entire time that I have since watched this episode, I have never once thought about that.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, 10 seasons is long. 10 seasons is already a really, really solid run, a lot longer than a lot of shows get. And it's just could have been done really well. Could have been like a really good bow on it, not really like have anything up in the air. Obviously it didn't, and that's fine. I'm still watching it. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But I just kind of was thinking about that during watching it. I'm like, this really is like just a really well done episode, especially as far as like the concept of like goodbyes go. Yeah, they could have just tied a bow on it and been like, and we're out. Peace out, Thursdays.
Yeah. We wouldn't have been able to end with you're the son.
That caused the conflict. Yeah. She definitely can't say that, because that then lets Derek off the hook of being shitty.
But I also shouldn't say that caused the conflict. The beginning of the episode, when I watched it the second time, she is like apprehensive, and you can tell that she feels like her only choice is to do this thing that Derek has presented her.
Well, and he knows it too, because he's like, don't you want to look at the brochure and remember that you love it? Because he knows that she doesn't. Yeah.
And again, why would we want to go to Foggy Bottom when Adventure Bay is so close and Mayor Goodway and the Paw Patrol are right there?
I just don't watch that show.
It's a good one. They go under the they go in the ocean at one point.
Sorry.
Yeah, it that's a cool take. That's a cool take, my friend.
Yeah.
You get one every, I don't know,
three to four years.
Pretty
great. So okay, anything else major?
Cali
in Arizona.
Cali in Arizona. Also, the girl who was the surrogate, who they have the baby, she is in the TV show Superstore.
Okay.
And I recognized her. And I had a real life Leonardo DiCaprio moment where he's snapping and he's pointing at the TV. Yeah.
I didn't know you watched that.
Yeah, I did. I liked that show. That's I think that's is that America?
America Ferrera?
Yeah. I think so, maybe.
I didn't watch that show.
And yeah, it's a good one. It's a funny one. It's like, for sure, if you've worked retail, it's so, so real. The other thing was they had the plot twist of it was a terrorist attack. And then they're like, nope, just a gas line leak. Ha ha ha. I didn't love that misdirect.
Yeah.
It felt like they could have accomplished some of the same things just saying it was a gas main leak explosion.
Yeah, I feel like really the only reason they needed to do it was to kind of like push the conversation with April and Catherine forward.
Catherine's there.
Like, yes, did we need the Homeland Security people? No. I did like the moment it created where he's like, ma'am, and Meredith's like, bitch, it's fucking doctor.
Yes.
And I'm in charge in here. Get the fuck out of the way. Like, you're obstructing the care of a citizen. And I really liked that moment. But yeah, it's kind of one of those things where I'm like, are we padding for time? Are we padding just to create this like emotional conflict for April? The news people could not stop fear mongering. Absolutely nothing has changed. This is still the same shit that we're seeing now, whatever.
They definitely were streaming Fox News.
Just gotta like really say the most heinous thing you could possibly think of off the top of your head, like when that's a possibility.
When the one news reporter woman was like, it begs the question, did they blow up the mall to drive people to the hospitals so that they could then blow up the hospitals? And I'm like, what is
fear mongering?
Could they not just go straight to the point and just blow up a hospital?
Like, no, that is like a pretty like it's a war tactic. Like it's a fairly old war tactic to like create a casualty event so then all of the people come in to help and then basically drop a second set of bombs on all the people that are there helping.
Mm. All's fair in love and war, I guess.
I guess that's what we're doing. But yeah, I think it's a good episode. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, they don't resolve that thing with the kid.
Yeah, they don't find the kid. They find a kid. And
yeah,
they're like,
that's not the right kid. Oh, we need to talk about Leah.
Leah's back, and she fixes what is... hold on, I wrote a note of this because she does a good thing.
Man's eye.
Hated
that.
It's
one of my least favorite things I have ever seen on this show.
Absolutely. It was orbital compartment syndrome. And Shane's like, whoa, you're here. And she's like, I have medicine to do, bitch.
Yeah. Which she comes in and she's like, can I help? And again, the whole thing was, you're going to be a great doctor. You just can't be a surgeon. So really, she can work in the emergency room. Surgeons don't work in the emergency room. One of the most wildly misleading parts of this series. Doctors work in the emergency room. Not that surgeons aren't doctors, but like ER doctors work in the ER.
Right.
Watch the pit, motherfuckers.
I actually would like to see Leah stay on the show, especially because Shane's now gone. I'd like to see Leah stay on the show in the ER and just be a doctor in the ER.
The thing is, she does so well with the patients in this episode.
Yeah.
It's almost like she's found this peace with like the situation. And she's like, I can still be this doctor and still like do doctor things.
It's also the flannel.
Yes. She's committed, even though Steph tells us at the beginning she's been couch rotting for like 3 straight days.
Yeah. Totally comatose.
Yeah. So, but I thought that was like a nice little redemption moment for her to just be like, I am still a capable, smart person. Yeah, I thought that was nice. And then once she realizes the ER is calm, she's like, well, I'm not going to linger here. Like, this is not for me anymore. So she leaves.
I think she's coming back.
Well,
next episode.
Okay. And what's she going to do?
She's going to be a doctor.
Right. Well, in this show, only the doctors are surgeons in the ER. I don't know. It doesn't make.
Does she not come back?
I'm not going to tell you.
So, yeah. I like that she came back. I like that she had a moment. I also like that we're going to take a quick pause and we'll finish this episode. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. And we are back. So, what was the note that I made? Oh, you know what scene I didn't fucking care for? When I think it was Arizona and Christina were talking. And Owen sees Christina's hair.
Owen, he's trying to fight his way through because he doesn't know if she's alive or not because her phone is dead and he doesn't know that she's there. No one's told him, blah, blah, all this stuff. And it's like a sea of people. But the way I don't have an issue with the scene conceptually, but the way they cut it, it makes it look like they're not that far away. And then they cut from an opposite angle and they're like miles apart.
Yeah.
So I see the vision, but I feel like the execution was just a little bit off as far as like the way it was cut with like the hubbubbery. Like, yeah, I'm right there with you.
The other scene I didn't care too much for was when they first acknowledge that there's this mass explosion event. Owen and April start yelling different things at the same time. That's just chaos and pandemonium. That can't be real. That can't be productive.
I don't know. I think
that's crazy.
You're just talking to, they're talking to different people. I don't know.
It's not hard. No one was paying attention.
I don't know. I'm like, because I am in a lot of chaotic situations, in no way equivalent to a mass casualty event. Just a lot of situations regularly where there is a lot of general low level chaos happening. And I am answering questions, 17 questions from 17 different people at the same time. Like, to me, it's not that hard to escalate that in my mind to be like, so what would it be if it was actually like life or death? Like, to me, I feel like it tracks, but I do see where it,
I don't like it.
It comes off as chaos, but like, that's obviously, it is chaos. That's what it is chaos. Portray that it's chaos. So.
Chaos and bloodshed are not an illusion. Mm-hmm. Or not a solution? Illusion?
Yeah, solution.
Solution. Don't let them lead you astray.
Can't believe you didn't even like musicals.
I just like Hamilton.
I feel like there are more you would like if you would give them a chance.
I do like Book... I would watch Book of Mormon.
Michael and I listened to that the other day, and I was like, I wonder if Jessica and Carmen have listened to this one.
I've listened to it. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I have from my notes that I want to talk about. I can't think of anything else. What else do we have to talk about? What else happened to this episode? Sabine comes back, Link gets the heart. We're led to believe that goes well. Mm-hmm. Even though Christina didn't do the surgery, Pierce did. Yeah, we get the reveal. I still have no idea what the hell is going on with that or how physically it's... I mean, I understand the concept of having a child. Physically, the idea that Ellis had a child that Weber didn't know about kind of is crazy. How Meredith doesn't know about it, also crazy. How they thought, let's give Meredith another half-sister on this show, kind of crazy. Yeah. I hope that this is the last half sister that they bring on the show.
That is revealed.
Yeah. But if they do reveal it, I want it to be a different sister played by Lexi.
Ah, okay. Well, let's talk. I mean, how do you think that they're going to reveal Maggie to Meredith and Richard?
Sorry.
Yeah, same.
Podcast, John. I don't know. I really don't. I think my head is still in such a foggy bottom here that I can't even think. Because I also can't remember how the reveal. Well, I guess what Thatcher just showed up.
No. Well, Thatcher
Lexi,
wasn't.
Lexi showed
Lexi
up.
Lexi was just like, are you Meredith Grey? I'm your half-sister. She just said it right to her when she was trying to, like, do medicine.
I don't remember that. I need to watch that. But I guess I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen with that. But I imagine Weber's going to try to do some sort of, like, DNA test kind of thing to confirm. I don't know. Maybe the plot point is that she'll have early onset Alzheimer's and forget anything even happened by next episode. Who knows?
Who knows, indeed. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's not really a reveal to Weber. It's more the reveal to Maggie from Weber. Because he's, I mean, I assume he's kind of putting it together.
That was my assumption.
Yeah. Seems like he's, did you know her? Biblically.
In a dirty way.
Yes.
But I should not have, because we were both married to different people.
Correct.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun storyline. I am excited to see where this one goes.
Yeah.
Especially considering Christina hired, of all people, Meredith's half-sister.
Yeah. What are the odds?
I mean, one in a couple billion.
So then, I mean, okay, so what do you think about the implication that Callie and Arizona will move forward with a surrogate?
Good for them. I like them. They're getting to a good groove. I do like them as a couple. I didn't like the cheating storyline. A, from an infidelity standpoint, I just don't like that. But also B, I think the way they wrote their characters, the things that they had been through, the cheating didn't make a ton of sense for where they were at. So I like them being in a healthy, communicative spot. I like the real kind of like that raw, the raw realism of Callie having that tough day of saying, well, my innards can't handle a baby. And I don't want to put that on Arizona because we are still a little bit fragile.
Yeah.
This feels like a good kind of middle ground. I don't know enough about the surrogate process. All I know about surrogates, I learned from friends. So I don't know enough about that process and what that looks like. And I also don't know what it's like to go through not only finding a sperm donor that they want, but then finding a surrogate.
Yeah.
That they want. So that feels like a very involved process, but that's the reality for a lot of same-sex couples, potentially.
Yeah. Also, what I did find interesting about this storyline is it does seem like the concept of surrogacy has not once crossed their mind. Like, it's like they see this thing happen and they're like, wait a second.
We forgot there's another option. Yeah.
Could you imagine? And I'm just like, I understand if like you're just like, oh, we can't get pregnant and I don't want to do surrogacy. Like, that's fine. I just like don't understand how we missed that completely up until this point.
Well, think about the year, right? This is
2014.
That the concept of IVF still at this time was pretty new. And when I say pretty new, I mean comparatively to like the polio vaccine. And look at how people respond to that. Okay.
Well, for a while they were fine with it. So
that's a good point. What goes around comes around. Am I right? So it to me feels like they just didn't think about it because of the prevalence of it. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
IVF dates back to 1959.
Okay. But the widespread use of it, I think, is different.
I mean, here's the thing. It is pricey.
Yeah.
You can make a lot of money as a surrogate.
Yeah. Speaking of eggs, I watched a video the other day on how they make caviar from
fish eggs.
Sturgeons, where they literally just cut the eggs out and they sew up they just do a C-section on those sturgeons right there, throw them back in the farm. Crazy how someone said, we should not kill the fish, but I still want these eggs.
Yeah.
I like it.
Have you
like
had caviar?
No.
Same, because pork, but I hear it's salty as hell.
We said, because poor. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'd like to try it.
Okay. Well, maybe next time we're together, we can expense it.
Yeah. And we'll have to watch it. We'll have to do a video.
Well, yeah, we'll film it for the podcast. Film ourselves trying caviar for this Grey's Anatomy podcast.
Caviar is part of the anatomy of a fish, and a fish is something that they have eaten in the show. And also, fish live in the water that the boat ferries across. It's all connected. It's relevant.
They do reference the ferry boat.
It's relevant. Crash. So, what do we have? Do we have any questions? Do we have any things we need to talk through here?
Some Discord questions.
Let's have some Discord.
Discourse.
That's the segment. It's time for your second favorite segment, Discord Discourse.
Okay. So many. How would you rank Christina's exit compared to other characters? The best we've seen by far.
Yeah.
Like her, and then probably Mark.
Yeah. Mark, Mark gets an in memorandum, though. His own title card at the end. She didn't.
Because she didn't die.
That we know of. I'm going to put it as a tie. I think it's a tie.
I think
they both were done.
Because they don't kill her. Get Mark to leave the show, I think you do have to kill him. So I think they did that right. I just think on a whole, like, whose exit was better. And like the tribute, I think, is more for Christina.
I'm gonna agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Predictions on who will get Christina's spot on the board.
It's going to be Alex. She literally has signed her stuff to him. There's a legal paper.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense. What I think will happen, though, is Bailey is going to take Derek's spot.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think is going to happen. Or they open up an additional seat on the board.
To, like, create a spot
for her. Create a spot for Bailey. One of those two things is going to happen.
Do you like Christina and Meredith's final Dance It Out? Yes, I do.
It was okay. The dialogue was great. You're the son, he's not the son was great.
It's also I think the cuts are just obvious. Like, they were like, now we're going to have film you dancing for like 20 minutes. And then we're just going to cut together what we want, but we're not going to take the time to match it up. When they have them moving in slow motion, I think it works perfectly.
Yes.
The very beginning, the way they're dancing, but also like the other times we've seen them dance it out, it's kind of been the same thing where they're just like not really doing it to the song in any specific way. They're just bouncing. So I think it's fine in that aspect.
Yeah, I guess that's fine. I mean, it was good.
Do you think Shane and Leah are both gone for good?
Shane, yes. Leah, no. Shane is gone. Shane could come back because he's still a resident. Like, maybe he goes there and learns and comes back. I don't know. I do predict that they get married.
Who gets married?
Shane and Christina.
Leah. Oh.
Shane and Christina. And Leah is going to come back as a doctor, maybe not a surgeon. Or that whole thing was a misdirect this whole time. And she just needed to get her ass handed to her to really get her skill together. But I
did like also that Shane is like, Richard's wrong. And she's like, no, he's not. Like, we all hang on every word he says. Mm. Like, we can't worship him the way we do. And then also be like, but this one thing I don't like, you're wrong about. I did like that. I felt like that's just reality.
Yeah, that was nice. But I do think Leah's going to be around. I think Leah's going to stick around. Shane's gone, but Leah's going to stick around.
Okay, all the thoughts and feels on he's very dreamy, but he's not the son. It's accurate.
Yeah, great.
Well spoken, accurate. Someone needed to say it to her. It flipped a switch inside of Meredith that needed to be flipped.
Yeah. Here's what I'm going to say. And this is on the record, and I will submit for a DNA test to match up this audio recording so that I can't talk my way out of this not being real evidence. Women, do not ever do anything for a stinky boy.
He's pretty.
Don't change your life. Don't give up a part of you. Don't conform to the trad life of society, unless that's what you want in every fiber of your being.
Yeah.
Don't sacrifice. Don't sacrifice and make a choice contingent on a stinky fucking boy. Don't do it before you're married, especially not before you're married. And if you do it when you're married, have a realistic conversation, kind of like, I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but what Burke and his wife had like demonstrated,
yeah,
where she had made some sacrifices. Now it's his turn to make a sacrifice, and he's doing that.
Yeah.
Right. I will use Jessica and I as an example. We lived in a relationship long distance in Florida and Illinois, separate lives together. And we were committed and we did all of these things. And then I made a conscious choice. Granted, I will tell you that I had some bumps along the way where I had a little bit of resentment, but I talked about it and I worked it out and everything was amazing. But like, I made those choices. And then when mm-hmm. she made choices, we made those choices together. There was always this compromise.
Yeah, it's never unilateral.
There wasn't those kind of things. So don't ever do anything for a stinky fucking boy. And I swear to you, I will raise my daughter, parentheses, daughters, to never feel that way.
Yeah.
And also, anyone that they marry, man, woman, or other, will have to take the Mignolo last name, because
you don't get to dictate that.
My women, the women in my family, are strong, independent women and don't need no other last names.
That's fine. As someone who kept their last name, that's fine. But I think we should just all not make other people change their names.
I'm not part of the stinky boy equation.
I know you think that. Days you're part of the stinky boy equation. Days you're not.
That's fair. Sometimes the teetering of my pee-pee jokes make me part of the stinky boy equation.
So, yes, I think, yeah, obviously that's very important and it needed to come from Christina, and I'm glad that it does. And I love her. And she's an angel. Okay. Let's see. This next one's a bit lengthy.
Who's it from?
There's kind of a couple that are similar on the same path of conversation. So Zoe says, "We've seen Richard express strong opinions about Bailey's career before. How do you feel about his track record with her and how do you feel about him not fighting for her lab and his reasons why?"
I'm sorry. Say that again. How do I feel about the track record of his career?
Richard express strong opinions about Bailey's career before, because he didn't support her Pete's fellowship. He was not going to make her chief resident. He just kind of told her that she would be chief of surgery one day. How do you feel about his track record with her in regards to her career path? And then about him not fighting for her lab and his reasons why?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I think he says that you don't belong in a lab. You're a surgeon. You got to go cut, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm going to see previous reference previous statement of me. Don't let a stinky boy dictate your life. And I think that is a situation where Weber is trying to mansplain Bailey's career. Whether or not he's true, he needs to guide her to that answer better.
Yeah.
So, and not then a fan.
On the same note, Kafwampler, our BFF.
Ah, Kafwampler, yes.
She said, how do you feel about Richard? I'll say, hers is a little bit leading in the way it's written.
Okay.
Which I support because this is how I speak. So how do you feel about Richard once a fucking again deciding what career path a person should be on? No, Shepard, you can't be chief because you want a family. No, Bailey, you won't be chief resident like you hope and dream because you are a good surgeon and I personally don't think you should. No, you can't do this because I personally think, God damn it, I think he should personally shut the fuck up and let people be happy for something and let them get it and have it if the merit and qualifications are there. And if they hate it and can't balance it, that's on them. Jesus, he does it all the time to people and obviously I'm fucking over it.
I feel like I don't even need to answer the question.
He does have some overstepping tendencies. I'll say that much, especially in the mentorship category.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't have a better answer than what you've outlined for yourself in your own question.
We just support you.
We support. It's a great question and a great answer by yourself to yourself. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Sometimes talking to yourself gets you the answers that you need. The only thing I will add on that is, as someone like myself who is cursed with knowledge and always being right,
I hate this man.
It is tough to look at when Weber says things like these because he's probably right. But that doesn't mean him dictating things to people is allowed.
But he wasn't right about her being chief resident. Like, she ended up doing that and being great at it and balancing it really well.
Yeah.
He was wrong about Callie doing it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I would have been right if I made a decision like that.
No.
I think the important takeaway is just back the fuck off and let Richard or let Bailey do her thing because Bailey is great regardless of Weber.
Yeah. Was there ever a moment you thought Christina wouldn't leave?
Yes. When she came back in the cab.
To dance it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before the dance it out and before the you're the son.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, so she's back. So she's not leaving.
Yeah. Did you think someone else may have popped up in this episode while Christina was saying goodbye? If so, who? Like another cameo or like a flashback or like a callback type person.
Let me tell you how I was waiting for the taxi driver to fucking be George.
Oh my God.
Because they don't show his face as they pull away.
Like, it's so not in the realm of this show for them to do that. Like if they did something like that, it would make no sense.
It would make perfect sense. I wanted the taxi driver to be George so damn bad.
Okay. How do you think Mare will take the news about Maggie if she ever finds out?
When she finds out, Meredith will be upset that her mom and mentor created another half-sibling problem that Meredith is going to have to deal with in some capacity and then learn to love. This woman needs therapy.
Yes.
Everyone deserves it, but yeah. she needs some extra dose of free therapy because of all the things that these writers fucking put her through on this show. Give her a break.
Yeah. Is it a wild leap to go from Bailey breaking the law and nearly getting sued to Weber recommending her have a seat on the board?
Crazier things have happened on this show.
That's so true.
So, no. But in reality, probably that.
I mean, I will say at least Jackson calls it out Yeah. And she's like, I just did this amazing thing. And he's like, yeah, and you did it super fucking illegally.
Yeah, I'm going to keep most of my political things to myself. But like, if we can have the president that we have, crazier things can happen. Yeah. She can be a board member.
Yeah. Should Meredith go to DC or stay in Seattle?
Stay in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. All you had to do was stay.
But yeah, they're getting a divorce. They're getting a divorce.
Okay. How many secret sisters do we think Meredith has in this universe?
We've only discovered a tenth. A tenth of the secret sisters.
A tenth of the secret sisters.
Yes.
So
there's 18 more.
Delightful.
Did I do that quick back of the napkin math? 10% of 20 is 2.
Yeah. Good job, buddy.
Hooray. I do math good.
Okay. I think that's it. I think we did it. I think we did 10 seasons of the show.
I think we did Shondaland.
Well, we didn't because it's still going, but
no, crazy. But we did Shonda's version.
We did Shondaland Grays.
Shondaland Grays. Before we get into the end, when we rate it, I want to say this was perfect.
Yeah.
The fact, like, I still can't thank everyone enough.
Mm-hmm.
We've been spoily free. I don't know if the Carmen free chat has been just like so excited about this. Mm-hmm. But the fact that I didn't know any of this was coming still blows my mind.
Yeah.
It's just so cool. It's just so cool.
Yeah.
And we can't do this podcast without you guys and your protection, your protective bubble. So thank you.
Yeah. We're just really happy to continue to do this. And it's just like the best. And I'm excited for the next, at this point, 12 seasons, soon to be 13 seasons. Who knows how many more?
13 seasons, why, am I right?
Literally, like, it's taken us 5 years to do 10 seasons.
We are doing episodes quicker than they can put them out, at least.
I just think that we're going to be doing this for like 10 more years.
Good.
Should we be doing this when we're 40?
Yes.
I don't know that that's true.
And hopefully we'll be featured on Hot Ones soon.
Oh my God. You guys, Carmen really thinks that if he meets Sean Evans, he'll just let us be on Hot Ones because they both like the White Sox. Like that's his entire basis for this concept.
I'm going to try it. It's going to happen.
You're an insane person. This man is so dumb.
In the immortal words of Hamilton, I'm not throwing away my shot.
Anyways, thank you guys so much. Oh, wait, we have to rate this episode.
That's a dumb question. It's 5.
Yeah.
It's 5. That's
so
a 5.
Good. So good. I think they just really did it well to do a send-off the way they did it. And I think there's just so many like send-off goodbye type episodes that get really like hyper dramatic or like overly corny, and I think they really did a good job of like not getting into that, and like there's not really much melodrama, and I think they use the word goodbye really well a lot of this episode, and like there's appropriate thank yous and hugs and emotions, and I just like really think that the writers nailed it, the actors nailed it. I just think it was executed really, really well, and I love Christina Yang and it breaks my heart.
Yeah, I wanna rank really quickly the goodbyes.
Okay.
So I'm gonna call them out, not in order first. So Christina to Meredith, Bailey, Weber, Owen, Derek, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom of the list, Owen.
Yeah.
Because I should have said goodbye a long time ago. Asterisk. Honestly, a pretty cool scene. Nicely done. Yeah. She Batmaned out of there. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But my personal feelings aside of them, good scene. I just don't like them. Then I would put the Bailey and Weber scene.
Mm-hmm.
Then Derek. Then Alex, then Meredith.
Yeah, I would probably agree.
The Alex scene was just really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give that a moment here because he doesn't care about people's approval, but you can tell that his friends' approval, specifically Christina and Meredith, mm-hmm. and what their opinions of him are, matter. And Meredith has kind of been more open with where their relationship is. They got through that like a big healing process after he ratted her out, I think, on the Alzheimer's trial, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah.
Christina and him never really got that. So this feels like the closing of their chapter.
What I also liked with him and Christina was when she first runs up and he's like, oh, thank God you're alive.
Yeah, that's right.
And
she's like, I was going to go to the mall.
Yeah, when she has that realization of like, holy shit, wait, I was going to go to the mall. That's fucking insane. I could have died. But they're working on that kid and she's like, oh, you need to crack his chest. And he's like, shouldn't you do it? And she's like, no, you're right there. And it just reminded me of like a similar moment when Teddy was like in her weird like teaching era with Christina, but like not telling her what she was trying to teach her. And that was kind of like a final moment with that. And she was like, there, like, you know, 6 months ago, you would have like pushed your way onto that side of the table. But in this moment, you like allowed the other surgeon to handle it because you knew that they could and you trusted them too. And that's important. And I thought that was like kind of a nice moment as well. And I'm sure Alex recognized that for her to be like, no, you can do it. And I'm right here. So like, it's fine.
Yeah.
But I think it's, you know, it breaks my heart to see her go, but I love this episode. I think they just did it. If she's got to go, she's got to go. I respect it. I understand it. I think they just did it so well. So definitely a 5 for me. I don't know. Are we taking a week off? Are we going straight into episode 1 next week? What are we doing? We haven't discussed this at all.
You know, we'll see.
We'll discuss. What I would love to do is another email episode. So if you guys want to send some more emails, they don't need to be spoily free. I can like obviously redact and kind of like parse through. But if you send them spoily free, great. We'll read them on an email specific episode. I don't know. I feel like we need like a fun name for it. Like what's a hospital related mail? It'll be a scut episode, but not negative implications. But yeah, we want to do another one of those. So send us messages, emails, whatever, graysacademypod@gmail.com, or, you know, we're on Instagram. We have a website, graysacademypod.com. We just like, yeah, it's kind of insane that we've done 10 seasons, that you've had such minimal spoilers and we're back to being unspoiled at this point. Because we've crested the few spoilers you've had. I get so nervous because Carmen, just like anyone he sees on the street, he's like, you should talk to me about Grey's Anatomy. And I'm like, stop doing that.
No. I tell them about my podcast.
Right. But I just fear that like you're going to find somebody that's just going to blurt out unhelpful things unbeknownst to you.
We'll cross that bridge.
Yeah.
That's something that we'll have to discuss with Sean on Hot Ones. Like how we handle that bubble, right?
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
It's not with that attitude. With my attitude, it will.
You guys. Maybe give us suggestions of people that potentially like would come on our podcast. Because Carmen's suggestions so far have been Taylor Swift and Shonda Rhimes. Who, I'll be honest. I feel like Shonda Rhimes is not unreasonable if we continue at this rate for the next 12 years. Taylor Swift does feel like a no. Not from me, just in general from her.
It's aspirational.
Anyways, so maybe some other recommendations for people we could potentially try and get on this show who are Grey's related content creators or doctor related type people. So, but thank you so much. Cannot sincerely thank you enough because it's just crazy that we've had enough people care enough for us to continue doing this for so long. And we love it and we love you guys. And at the end of the day, the most important thing to remember is if you see Carmen walking down the street.
No spoilies. Christina Alexandra Yang. What's her middle name? Do we even, does she have?
I don't know.
Christina Carmen Yang. Rest in peace.
She's not dead. Ode
to you. No spoilies. We appreciate you all so much. We'll see you all in the next one.